Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Monday. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley and their customers for decades. Why? Because they get you the best price, the right insurance, and when there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them because you're that important to them. Customer service means everything to Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And by the way, don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on Wednesday, May 4th. That will take place at the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We are there every single year. And we always have to buy Kevin Herr golf insurance because we need to be covered by errant shots. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tomorrow, a new era begins here. It'll be Phillies baseball. 1 o'clock tomorrow in Florida. On News Radio 1070 WKOK, your new home for the Philadelphia Phillies. They'll probably cut a little bit into our show tomorrow. No problem. It's just great to have the Phillies on WKOK. We now bring in Kevin Herr.
Ben. You know, when I first started doing this, Tommy Herr was the Phillies' second baseman. He was in the first sports story I actually read on my first day.
Wow.
Tommy Herr, no relation.
And the downward spiral began.
Yes, downward spiral indeed.
Congratulations to Bucknell winning the Patriot League Basketball Championship, the number one seed for the upcoming tournament. They are guaranteed the quarterfinal game at home. And if they win the semifinal, if they win, they get the final at home. So that's what's at stake for them. Nathan Davis today at 3:35. Matt Leon will join us from Philadelphia today. Adam Bittner from Pittsburgh. Interesting situation with the Pirates and Garrett Cole as to what they offered. Let's see. Any big moves? NHL trade deadline? No, Crosby still with the Penguins, so no.
That's really all that anybody's worried about for the most part.
K-State is the new number one. That's not true. It's Kansas. That's the new number one. It's Kansas.
Oops.
Not K-State.
I knew it was one of those teams out that way.
Okay. When in doubt, it's the one that's won 12 straight Big 12 championships.
Yeah, it's KU, not K-State. Sorry. Wrong nickname.
I would go with them. Who are the four number ones as of today? To me, the four number ones of today are pretty simple. It would be Kansas, Michigan State, Villanova, and Virginia. To me, would be the four number one seeds right now. That's as of today. I watched one of them in person yesterday. Let's get to yesterday, and let's just get it going right away. And, of course, by the way, the Big 10 Wrestling Championship this week at Carver-Hawkeye, the pre-seeds were announced today, by the way, for that. And we might as well get that. We might as well roll that in here, too. At 125, Nathan Tomasello of Ohio State is number one. Thomas Gilman of Iowa is 2, and Nico Megalutis is 3. At 133 pounds, Zane Richards of Illinois is 1, Corey Clark of Iowa is 2, and Jordan Conaway of Penn State is 3. At 141, Micah Jordan of Ohio State is 1, and Jimmy Gulabon is 8th. At 149, Zane Rutherford is number one. Brandon Sorensen of Iowa is two. At 157, Jason Nolf of Penn State is number one. Isaiah Martinez of Illinois is number two. They're in a collision course for a rematch. 165, Isaac Jordan of Wisconsin is number one. Gino Morelli of Penn State is seventh. Rashid, they sent him out to Colorado Springs because they want to see why he's been fading a little bit in the third period, so they put him up in thin air. And I think in the end, Morelli's just the guy they're going to go with. 174, Bo Nickel of Penn State's number one. Alex Meyer of Iowa is number two. At 184, Dom Abendender of Michigan is number one. Matt McCutchen of Penn State is number two. At 197, Morgan McIntosh of Penn State is number one. Brett Farr of Minnesota is two, and Nathan Burke of Iowa is three. And at 285 pounds, Adam Kuhn of Michigan is one. Kyle Snyder, who in reality is the favorite, is number two. Sam Stahl is three, and Nick Nevels of Penn State is eight. That's why they sent Nevels out to Colorado Springs to wrestle. They wanted to get three matches under his belt. He won all three, and now he's the number eight seed. Tough division. Snyder's number two. I think Snyder, the world champion, is the favorite, but he is the number two seed. I think in part because he hasn't wrestled as much as everyone else has. So there's that. So we come right out of the gate, make a little news as to what's going on in the wrestling world. So those are the seeds announced today that did not make the Kevin Herr rundown.
Well, because they weren't available when the rundown began.
Show just started. Where you been?
I'm not that timely. I'm on a delay.
Gotta have a little fun with it once in a while, right? Okay. Yesterday. Do you want an honest assessment of yesterday? You know, like a blunt assessment of yesterday?
Well, you played a really good team at Michigan State. That's one of the assessments, I would think.
I could care less about yesterday. Penn State, for everything for them right now, is about Thursday and then about Sunday. And anybody with any semblance of common sense knew that going in. Look, I take every game seriously. I understand the deal with every single game going in. I prepare every single game like it's going to be a blowout. I prepare every single game like it's going to go to the last shot. You prepare for every eventuality because you don't know what you're going to get. Michigan State, let me give you everybody just a slice of perspective here. Indiana is being celebrated today for winning at least a share of the Big Ten championship. And to their credit, I don't care what kind of schedule you play, you still have gone through. You can only play what you get. And in Indiana, while playing the weakest schedule of all the top contending teams, it's irrelevant. They still played the schedule and they have the best record. You can lose those games, too. It's not only that the conference doesn't have some depth. They do have some depth. Conference has a lot of depth, as we've seen. So all praise to Indiana for being the Big Ten regular season champion. Now, somebody can tie them for it, obviously. So they've clinched at least a co-championship. Indiana just played Michigan State. And Michigan State ran them out of the gym. This is the champion. Dusted. I talked to the Michigan State people. I talked to Will Tiemann yesterday, who does their play-by-play. I talked to Matt Larson, who does a great job in publicity there. I said, what about the Indiana game? They said, wasn't even competitive. Wasn't competitive. They beat them, I think, by 18 or 19. This is the team that's being celebrated as winning the conference championship. Michigan State's just playing at a great level right now. Tom Izzo said something after the game yesterday that you rarely hear coaches say. We're good enough to make a run. You're darn right you are. Denzel Valentine's playing great basketball. Bryn Forbes is playing great basketball. Matt Costello is playing the best basketball of his career inside. Rebounder, tough guy, dirty work, and now is getting points to go with all those rebounds and hustle plays. The one guy that doesn't quite fit for them is Aaron Harris, the transfer from West Virginia. He seems to be a little bit more too concerned about his own. And that's not the Michigan State way. But here's something that's rare. And I would not expect the average fan to know this, you know, because you don't run numbers. You watch games, you don't run numbers. We run numbers. That's why we'd know and would put some stock in it as to what we see. 8 times out of 10, when you look at stats, conference stats are lower for an individual player than they are than their overall stats. In other words, they're scoring better, getting more rebounds, shooting better in non-conference games. Michigan State's top four players, Denzel Valentine, leading scorer. And when I mean top four players, I mean top four on the stat sheet. Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, Aaron Harris, and Matt Costello all have better stats in points, rebounds, and in shooting percentage and in three-point percentage in the Big Ten compared to what they have for the season. That's stunning. That's how well they're playing. Indiana is the Big Ten regular season champion, at least a share of the championship. Indiana could win the Big Ten tournament, and Indiana would not be a number one seed. They would be at best a 2, probably a 3, at best. Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament, they are a 1 seed. Because outside of Kansas, I don't think there's any team playing better basketball than Michigan State. That's how good they are.
All 5 of Michigan State's losses have come in conference play.
Yeah, but it's also with Valentine being hurt.
See, right.
You got to remember.
I'm just saying,
game,
no, but that's.
The games without Valentine are not going to count to the committee.
But I'm
the
looking at the,
with,
yeah, I understand right. What you're saying. Yeah, I'm just looking at the fact that the strength of the Big Ten Conference right now, and when all 5 of your losses have come in the conference play,
right.
And you have so many conference teams in the top even 15 right now.
But some of that happened with Valentine being hurt. The games where Valentine is hurt and missed will not count for the committee. Because guess what? He's healthy now. Very healthy now. The interesting thing is that in the NBA draft, Valentine would be the number 2 player taken off his team. I mean, Valentine, it's in all likelihood, it's between Valentine and Yogi Ferrell now as to who the Big Ten Player of the Year is. Valentine probably missed enough time where being National Player of the Year probably isn't in the cards. I think Buddy Hield of Oklahoma is the guy that's probably in the lead for that right now. But on his own team, Valentine would not be the first player off the NBA draft board. That would be the true freshman, Deontay Davis. He would be picked probably ahead of Valentine if he elects to go out. Long arms, real skill, does a couple of things that you look around and say, okay, we don't see much of that. So I didn't really care about that as the result yesterday. So what? Move on. I mean, that was my attitude. I walked out and went, all right, so what? They're great. I got it. The game on Thursday night with Northwestern will not be a big national game. Will not be. But for Penn State, it's a really big game. On a national scale, is Penn State Northwestern a big game? No. On a Penn State scale, is Northwestern a really big game program-wise Thursday night? Yes. That's a big game. I'll get into the Patrick Chambers part in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Advertisements for insurance companies today talk all about lowest price. Pick your own plan. I want somebody to hear my needs and tell me how to protect tomorrow. Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting tomorrow for 85 years. Purdy Insurance Agency is a local family-owned company that spends its time and energy protecting you with things like policy reviews. Sure, we use today's technology with online quotes and information you can use at our website. Purdy Insurance Agency is still focused on having a real, live, local person ready to answer your call. We have respected carriers for policies and property, casualty, life, health, auto, homeowners, retirement planning, workers' comp, and employee benefits. Purdy Insurance Agency also has special pricing on home and auto for firefighters, education, and medical professionals. So the next time you see a big box insurance company on TV, remember what insurance is really all about: insuring and protecting tomorrow. Call 800-677-2478 or at purdyinsurance.com. Purdy Insurance Agency. What can we do for you? Yeah.
Okay, the Patrick Chambers part of it. He got double teed and tossed out yesterday. Let's get into that just a little bit for a moment. Look, he's out there, he's fighting for his kids, and you know what? Good for him. Fight for your kids. Fight for your players. The play in question, I mean, the first 23 fouls in the game, 17 were called on Penn State, 6 were called on Michigan State. Okay. Mike DeCourcy made a really good point yesterday where he's both right and wrong, that he's right, but also there's a slight hole in it. And here's the point he made. He says, better teams with better players, and when you're a better player, you don't usually foul. It makes sense because, look, you're a little quicker, you're a little longer, a little whatever. You're a better player. And yeah, it's not like you don't foul, but you do. And I completely buy that. Michigan State's got better players and so forth. And I've watched a lot of games in my career, so I know Mike's right about that. But here's the other part, where the hole in Mike's theory. Brandon Taylor is one of the 10 best players in the Big Ten. So individually, he is one of the better players in the league. 16.5 points, 6.5 rebounds a game. Not a lot of people in that club in this league. Brandon Taylor is one of the 10 best players in the league, fitting Mike's description. In the last 6 games, Brandon Taylor, who plays half the time on the perimeter, half the time in the post. I'm just being liberal. I think that's fair to say that. In the last 6 games, he's attempted 13 free throws. Really? Every time he touches the ball, without exception, in the post, he gets doubled. 13 free throws in 6 games. As for the call, Bo Borowski is on the baseline 5 feet from the play. That can only be one of 2 things on that play, because I watched it and I saw it clearly. It can either be a foul on Davis, okay, or a no call. Bo Borowski,
had a no-call on the baseline, 5 feet from the play. Perfectly fine with that. I can absolutely go along with that. Just keep the game moving. It's no big deal. It wasn't affecting the flow of the play at all. But he's not the one that made a call, did he? Nope. The guy 40 feet from the basket made the call. And he didn't make the right call. And not only that, it was the second. That was the second foul on Brandon Taylor. Second or third? On an innocuous offensive play in the zone. Got to have a feel for the game. On that play, no feel. And then Patrick was teed up twice.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades. There's a good reason why. Because they get you the best insurance, the right insurance, at the best price. And if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. That's how much they care about you. Customer service comes first at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. And don't forget about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on Wednesday, May 4th. There is no greater thrill than watching Kevin out there slicing all over the place. But a thrill for me to see that.
I like to say and slicing through the air.
I'm sure you would. What about the rest of us watching it?
That's your
all
problem.
Right. Well, if you wonder why we wear helmets, have you ever asked yourself why?
Excuse me, I yell four. That's my responsibility as a golfer.
It's our responsibility to protect ourselves. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to bring in the Patriot League Coach of the Year, Nathan Davis. Coach, first of all, congratulations to you and your staff, by the way, on that honor. And welcome back to the show.
Thanks, you. Thank you. It's always great to be with you. It's certainly a great honor for our staff, and I think it's really one of those awards that's more of a team deal where the guys did a great job of playing together and sacrificing, and we had a good year.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. Before I get to the individual honors, I want to ask you about the last four games. You hit any team that goes through this, because it's such a long season, will hit a little bump here. It didn't quite go right there. What impressed you about the response of your team the last four games of the year?
I think the biggest thing we've taken out of it was we showed resiliency and mental toughness. Even in those games, I mean, they come out of a stretch where we're losing some games and not playing well to come back and fight back and play well. But even in those games, to get in situations where you're down or you're behind or you weren't playing well and be able just to find a way to kind of get it done is what it's about this time of year. It's not always got to be pretty. It's about winning and advancing when you get into tournament play. And I think we're starting to show that we have the mentality to do those things.
In each one of those four games, if you had lost, you would have slipped down. Yet with the pressure on each time, you won them. Did that prepare you mentally for what you're about to face?
I think we're going to find out, certainly. I hope so.
yes. We're going to find out.
We're sure going to find out. I hope so. I think that, I mean, throughout the year, you're going to go through all those situations where you're down or you're up or you're playing well, you're not playing well, what have you. And it's all building towards to now where you've got to put it all together. And like I said, it's not going to be pretty all the time when you get into tournament play. You just got to find a way to win a game. And that's all that matters. And hopefully going through those situations, knowing we've been behind, knowing we've been up, knowing we've been with our backs to the wall, you name it, we should have seen it by now. And so hopefully we'll be able to draw on those experiences and play well.
I want to start actually on the opposite side when it comes to your players being named All Patriot League. I want to start with the defensive end, because I think that's where you like to start, too. Ryan Frazier and Stephen Brown both claimed two of the five spots in the first-ever Patriot League all-defensive team. How much did that spur your offense by how those two led defensively?
Well, I think there's no doubt. And you go back to really league play and then coming out of the stretch where we weren't playing well these last four games. And really it's been our defensive effort and our concentration and focus at that end has been the key. And you can take those two guys and I'd throw Nana Fallon into that as well. He's really stepped up defensively, and all three of those guys have kind of carried the load for us at that end of the floor. And we've shown that we can score in a number of different ways. Our issue has been getting stops consistently. And here in league play and here down the stretch, we've gotten those stops and allowed us to win games.
How different are you in rotations now compared to, like, the end of December, where now here it is, the time you need to be your best? How different are you now in the rotations?
They're much better. Their difference is that they're there more now than they were in the past.
It's true, yeah.
But, no, I mean, they're much better. We don't give up nearly as many shots around the rim as shots in the lane because our rotations are much better. And the same thing on the perimeter, we're not giving up as many open shots because our rotations and closeouts are better. And so, I mean, that's a big part of it. Jeff Pagani says all the time on TV, basketball is a make-or-miss game. And if you can force teams to take as many tough shots as possible, it's more likely they're going to miss them. And we've been able to do that here recently.
Only seven players in the history of Bucknell basketball have made the All-Patriot three different years. Chris Haas happens to be one of the seven. He made first team. What kind of luxury has it been for you as a coach to have that weapon on the floor?
It's not something you can really quantify. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times where he's just made a shot. They're like, no, no, no. Or, oh, yeah, just go ahead and shoot it. I mean, why not? It can't be any worse. What's going on? And he's knocked it down. He did it a couple times the other day. And it's something that, as a coach, you certainly enjoy having when you have it because you don't get it very often. But he's got a way of scoring the ball and that's uncanny in a lot of respects as far as being able to make shots off the move, make shots from deep, be able to put on the floor, make free throws. He can kind of do a little bit of all of it, and it's a great luxury to have.
Nana Fallon ended up making second team. The first time I saw him as a true freshman, I looked around. I said to Dick Girardi, I said, that is a talent there. What did you see in his development that allowed him to be a better player as the season went along as a sophomore?
I think he's gotten, we'll start defensively. He's much more engaged at that end, and I think that helps him offensively be engaged. I think he's gotten much better as the year went on, as using his body and doing his work early so he doesn't have to make as many difficult moves to score. And people forget, he hasn't been playing for that long. He really didn't start playing until eighth grade, eighth, ninth grade. And most people have been playing a lot longer than that, so just the experience of having played in more games and more practices is helping him tremendously, and I think he's just starting to scratch the surface of what he's capable of.
I already mentioned that senior Ryan Frazier made all-defensive team with Stephen Brown, but Stephen Brown, the sophomore point guard, made third team overall all-Big Ten. You entrust him with a lot. What do you like about him?
I like that he's competitive, that he doesn't get too high or too low. And in a lot of ways, you can say what you want, but in a lot of ways, our team plays as well as he plays. He's kind of the head of the team at both ends of the floor. And when he's going, we're going well. And fortunately for us, he's played really well here in league play. And the other day, he's made plays at the end of games offensively. At the end of the game the other day, on Wednesday, he made a layup against Lafayette to kind of seal that. And then last Saturday night, he makes a steal with 2 seconds left against Navy to kind of seal that. So he's been doing it both ends for us.
You now get the opportunity to start out on Thursday with either Loyola or with Holy Cross, but in your gym. In fact, with each win, you would stay in your gym. After coaching this season as a head, now you've done this before as an assistant, but in this moment in time, what do you think that gym has meant to your players playing in there?
I mean, I think the school and program has had a tradition of tremendous success at home, and Soil Kid Pavilion is a big part of that. It's going to be raucous. When you get going, it's loud. The fans are always behind you, whether you're playing poorly or not, playing well or not. And then you combine with the fact that it's just a more routine day for you. You're not in a different place. You sleep in your own bed. All that stuff is an added boost. Now, saying that, this time of year, everyone's going to play as well as they can, so you got to go out there and play. That's not going to be enough on its own to get it done. But any little push you have behind you in comfort level and noise, all that stuff matters. And we're fortunate that we were able to do enough this year to get ourselves in a situation where as long as we can win, we can play at home. But at the same time, we got to understand we've got to go out there and play. No one's going to come in here and roll over because we're playing home. We got to go out there and play, and we got to go out there and play well.
Right, because no matter what, the team, and this is something in all the years I've done tournaments, going back into the 80s, one thing I always noticed that team gets a bye, that's great, you've earned your bye, but you're also facing a team that will have some automatic momentum because you're facing a team that will have won their way to play you.
Correct. and there's no doubt. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Nathan. My apologies.
There is an advantage certainly to playing more of a regular schedule, playing Saturday, taking 2 days, playing on Tuesday to get that in your system, but I wouldn't trade that. I'd rather play at home.
No question. But I'm at least putting it out there so people know that, hey, look, this in tournament play, remember, that team you're facing is the one. Talk about for the fans.
Right. So
they won their way to get here, so right. they're feeling good about themselves.
And the reality is they're coming in, no one outside of them thinks they're going to have any chance to win. And so you got to go out there and you got to play. You're going to get their best effort. It's going to be win or go home for them. They're going to leave everything they have on the floor. They're not going to quit. They're not going to go away. You're going to have to earn it no matter who you're playing.
Nathan, what will be your pattern the next couple of days to get ready for Thursday?
So we took off yesterday, try to recover. We'll go for a little bit over an hour today and try to get up and down to make sure we get a good run in and can work on some of our transition stuff. And then we'll focus in a little bit more tomorrow on the two teams we might play. And Wednesday will be all about whoever it is. And then we'll go toss it up on Thursday night.
Have you shortened your rotation at this time of the year?
We're still playing 10. 11. I think we play 11 on Saturday. So there's more feel to it now. We kind of got an idea we're going to get 10 or 11 guys in the first half either anyway.
Nathan, absolute pleasure. Congratulations to you, your staff, and your players on the regular season title and on the awards all of you receive, with you being named the Patriot League Coach of the Year as well. We appreciate the time as always. And really, congratulations. Oh, great accomplishments to this point.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Boy, what a job he's done, huh? Nathan Davis, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. I mean, really, what a job he has done. You know, you get into Patriot League play. Did anybody envision we'd be having this kind of conversation back in the middle of December? But he brought them along, and he didn't deviate from what he wanted to do. He stayed on the track he needed to stay on. All credit to him. Great job. We'll come back. Kevin Herr's complete analysis of the Bucknell basketball program as he sees it in a moment. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, this day in sports history. For February 29th.
I bet the sports history's thin on this day.
Not as thin as you think.
Really?
Yeah, it's really interesting the way it worked out. And then we'll talk about Pat Chambers here in a moment. The great swimmer Don Fraser out of Australia set a 36th world record on this date in the 100-meter freestyle in Sydney in 1964. In 1972, Hank Aaron signed a contract with the Braves for $200,000 a year. In 1980, Gordie Howe, then of the Hartford Whalers, became the first player in the history of the NHL to score 800 goals, and he did so in his 1,000th regular season game. In 1992, the Professional Spring Football League began operations. On March 1st, they ceased. Just kidding. In 1992, Ray Bourque of the Bruins scored his 1,000th career point. Only NHL defenseman to score 1,000 points in his career. Only the third NHL defenseman to do so. And the Mavericks set an NBA record with 18 three-pointers in the game in 1996. Steph Curry had 12 alone on Saturday night. If you are not watching Steph Curry, you are missing something special. Sorry, Isaiah Thomas. Sorry, Oscar Robertson, but the dude is fun. Saturday night against Oklahoma City. 12 three-pointers, 46 points, and the game winner in overtime from a casual 35 feet. I'm sorry, but that, to me, is entertainment. And brilliant coaching move by Steve Kerr. Brilliant. End of regulation. They get the ball into Durant. And, of course, foul. No. You don't have to file there. You don't. And they didn't. And guess what he did? Panicked, thinking he was going to get fouled, and then threw the ball away. Ended up eventually with two Andre Iguodala free throws, which then set up Curry in overtime. Curry is... This may not be a big NBA area, but you want to see the, one of the best ever? Watch Golden State. And watch Steph Curry. Quick. Gets to the bucket. Incredible release. Range beyond words. He's flat out fun. Now, I know Kevin doesn't, you know, Kevin doesn't follow this at all. It's all right.
The No Basketball Association.
Now, guess what? You watch him. That's a little different ball game out there.
Actually, I give him credit. Yeah, but it's still the big. There's still the big problem to me with the NBA is there's just not enough team basketball being played.
They play beautiful team basketball. They play beautiful team basketball. They are. I mean, oh my goodness!
When I watch the game, when I watch the game, it's feed the star, feed the star, feed the star. Especially when I watch Cleveland.
Stephen Curry averages 2.7 hockey assists per game.
2.7 hockey assists?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is a hockey assist?
A pass that leads to a pass to a basket.
Oh, okay.
You're not the direct assist. You're the one that gets in. You're the one that makes the first pass into a pass. He leads the NBA in that part. They move the ball, Golden State does, beautifully. Inside, outside, corners. I mean, it's just, they really do. 3 years ago on this show, I said straight out, one team, this is 3 years ago, there's one team in the NBA I'll watch, and that's Golden State. And you know what's interesting? A lot of people have taken a lot of shots at Golden State this year. Have you heard Golden State brag about anything they're doing?
They're on too late for me.
But I'm saying, but have you heard Golden State brag about anything they're doing? People are taking shots at them, and they have just been playing. They are not like saying, hey, we're the best, we're this. They're like, just playing. Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick. How are you today?
Hey, I'll make this quick. You were talking about Coach Chambers and the foul situation on the last ball game. You just talked to the most patient coach in North America in basketball. We were down at Naval Academy on Saturday night in the second half. Bucknell had 9 fouls on him in the first 9 minutes, 8 fouls, and Navy had one, and none on the defensive end. One was an offensive foul, basically, at their end. So they went 9 minutes with one foul. You can't, in my mind, nobody can rationalize to me that nobody commits a foul at the defensive end when the other team has committed 8. I don't believe that. And for Nathan Davis to stand there, for Nathan Davis to sit there and almost tolerate that is beyond belief. And DeCellis, I mean, you know him better than most anybody. He just worked those officials relentlessly in front of him. It was unbelievable how he works those officials.
And yep, that's just me.
I mean,
right.
I was really frustrated. And then I have to go through the thing. They called 3 fouls in about 38 seconds or something like that on Navy.
Oh, of course. Oh, you know what ended up yesterday? It ended up 23-20 on fouls yesterday. Well, that means nothing to me, Dick, because 17 of the first 23 fouls in the game were called against Penn State.
I guess my point is, I just think the officiating, and I'm not sure why. I'm sure it's a lot better at the Big Ten level than it is at the Patriot League level.
Probably.
But it's just frustrating to sit there and watch this game after game after game after game.
Well, Dick, you know what you need? You know, just one quick comment, then I'll go. I know because you have to go. But whether you're a player, a coach, a broadcaster, or an official, one of the most important things you need to be really good at your job is have a feel for it. Yesterday in that moment, okay, I watched yesterday. It was a day that they didn't have a feel for what was going on.
You might can believe that. I see it a lot of times. I just think the officiating has reached a point that it's not as good as it was even a few years ago. That's just me looking at it. So,
well, I'm not going to argue here with you. I'm wondering the same thing, too.
Anyhow, I'll let you go. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, partner. Appreciate it. We're going to talk more about that next half hour, a couple things about that from yesterday. Because Pat's had enough. When Brandon Taylor has 13 free throws in six games, that's a head scratcher.